Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
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 I like this day. It's a fun day. I missed you guys last week. I'm really sorry that I wasn't here, but you will be glad that I was not here because I had no voice. Or actually, maybe you would have liked it because the sermon would have been the shortest you have ever heard me do. It might have actually been the time that I finally got up and said, God loves you. Let's sing now. It's awful. I had no voice last week. So, any of you ever seen live television before?
Yeah.
Said yes?
Yeah.
No one raised their hands. I don't know. So you have a concept of what live television is, right? Sarah and I have a weird hobby that we've been doing for a while now. I've told some of you about this, and some of you are aware of this, but imagine taking a live television show, okay? But tweak it such that everybody who's watching the show has the ability to talk to one another, okay? I know, Nancy, it's not your bailiwick. It's okay. You just imagine it. You don't have to like it. Imagine this world. You got this live show, and everyone who's watching it can talk to one another, and they can talk to the people who are doing the show, and they actually even have the ability to change the show. They can tweak it. They can change the way it works. They can change the story. Okay? It's like this interactive, collaborative storytelling situation happening in real time, happening live. Can you understand that basic concept? That's all you have to understand, and then this will all make sense. But if you didn't get that, tell me now so we can make sure we're all on the same page. So Sarah and I have been doing this thing lately online with some friends that we made a while back. And it's become a bit of a hobby. And it's kind of a fun hobby because we get to do this. We get to do this collaborative storytelling, this online situation, where we get to play with our friends and banter with the people who are watching this. And believe it or not, there are folks who really enjoy watching this. And last week or so, while we were doing this, we actually participated in a charity drive. The people who broadcast this show that we've been doing online, they participated in a charity drive to raise money to help get kids off the street. Who here likes the idea of getting kids off the street? See, we're all on the same page. You have a basic concept of what I'm talking about. We're supporting the same basic charity idea here. So for 48 straight hours, it wasn't just us by any means. For 48 hours, this channel, this online channel, we'll just call it that to make life easy, was broadcasting people playing silly games and singing songs and telling jokes and doing weird dances and whatever else. And other people were donating money to change what was happening and make it happen. And over the course of these 48 hours, the channel raised about $75,000 for this purpose, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's pretty amazing, actually. So one of the shows that happens in this thing, it's this creative storytelling, collaborative storytelling thing. You don't have to understand any more than that. Just understand that much. One of these shows, off and on, I have been allowed to be, for lack of a better term, one of the writers for it. It's been rather entertaining for me because it's, you know, a hobby that I get paid a little bit of money to do. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of fun when your hobby is self-supporting. If you disagree with me, that's fine. You don't have to agree. But for me personally, I find it to be a nice bonus. So I've been asked to be one of the writers for this creative online show thing, okay? Can you follow with me with it so far? Now, there's been some plot twists on this show lately. I'm not going to bore you with details. It doesn't matter. But there's been some plot twists going on and a lot of confusion amongst the fans of the show as to what has been happening. And so I thought, as one of the writers, I would be able to help them out. I thought that I could just basically say to them, hey, because they know who I am, at least in that capacity, hey, you had some questions, here are your answers. Here's what's happening on the show. Here's the real story. Here's the truth of what's going on. And so I tried doing this, and do you know what happened? They wouldn't believe me. Again, it doesn't matter all the details of it, but try and understand this. This crazy interactive live show thing going on. The people who enjoy it know I'm one of the people who literally tells the story. I've told them what the story is, and they don't believe me because they've created their own version of what they think the story is. So I've told them it's this, and they've said, that's great, we don't believe you, we think it's really this. Does that kind of make sense in a weird way? Don't worry, we're going to get back to Easter. We'll get there. We'll get to Easter, I promise you. Even though they have honestly had basically a writer, picture a novel that you really like. Everyone got a novel that you really like? A TV show you really like? A film series you really like? Now pretend for a moment that the writer, the author of that novel, that TV show, that film series, was able to answer any questions you had about where the show was going, what its history was, what the storyline was. And as soon as they did that for you, you said, I don't think you're right. I think it's actually this other thing. That's what happened to me. It's the weirdest feeling. And I thought about that today while thinking about this gospel reading. Thinking about the reaction of the disciples when they get to the tomb. Because Jesus has been telling them for the entire book of Luke, hey, just so you know, gonna die. 3 days later, gonna come back. He does not keep this secret. 3 times in Luke, he hasn't just hinted at that. 3 times in Luke, he has flat out said to them what is going to happen. The Son of Man must die, and 3 days will rise again. The disciples say, oh, that's great, Jesus. Hey, so which one of us is going to be more important, do you think, down the road? Guys, I was talking to you for a moment. No, that's great, Jesus. We heard you. No, seriously, Peter, I want to be number one. He keeps telling them over and over again, this is what I'm going to do. Then he does it, and their response to it is to say, no. No. We've got our own version of this story. The women go, they see the empty tomb. They don't just see the empty tomb, they speak to these two angelic figures who tell them, yeah, remember when he said he was going to come back? He did it. The women say, hey, this is amazing. They go back and tell the men. The men say, I don't know, no. The disciples have a story that they have connected to. They have a story that, as far as they're concerned, is the truth. It doesn't matter what the true truth is. It matters to them the story they've committed themselves. They have committed themselves to the story that Jesus came. He wandered around. He preached. He taught. He healed. He cast out demons. He ticked a lot of people off. He went on trial. He was convicted. He was executed. He lost. That's the story, as far as the disciples are concerned right here. He came, he saw, he failed. They don't like the story. I promise you, none of the disciples were excited about that rendition of the story. None of them had their hearts filled with joy at the idea that the man they had followed, that they had loved, who they had listened to, whose teachings they had ingrained into their heart, had died, had been killed, had been murdered, that he had lost, that it was in all sense of the word a failure. But to them, that's what the story is right there. And when someone comes to them and says, no, really, that's not the case. Here's the real story. They say, no. That's great. I mean, thanks for giving us that other version, but no, we're going to stick to this one for now. Jesus' story wasn't over. That was 2,000 years ago. If his story was over 2,000 years ago, I promise you, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. Right? We aren't all sitting here on this morning. Some of us didn't get up much earlier than we like to. Your pastor's not a morning person. We didn't get up early. I shouldn't complain because Carol and Judy were here cooking dinner. Never mind. I got nothing to say. Y'all made breakfast. Thank you. It was delicious. Mea culpa. We wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning 2,000 years later if the story had ended then. But as far as the disciples are concerned right then, it's over. And yet the story had barely begun. Stop and think for a moment of what an infinitesimal amount of time Jesus actually spent walking around with the disciples doing those things. I'm not saying it's not powerful. I'm not saying it's not important. Please don't take this in some weird heretical direction. But do the math. Yeah, he wandered, he preached, he taught, he healed, casting demons out, all that great stuff, fantastic. It wasn't that long. And yet the story has continued for 2,000 years. That's 2 with 3 zeros. That's a lot. I recently learned from one of the kids this past week that 24 is really, really old. In fact, it's near death, apparently. That's a sermon illustration I'll use some other time. Well, if 24 is really, really old, this is 2,000 years old. The story was not over as much as the disciples thought it was. It had barely begun. The prelude was still playing. Heck, if you want to look at it as a worship service, it's not even the prelude. People are still looking for parking on the Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago. Pastor Dick Wendt, who served Bethel quite faithfully as an interim a few years back. What did Pastor Wendt like to say all the time to y'all?
Every day is an Easter day.
Every day is an Easter day, right? Please say that with me once. Every day is an Easter day. That's awesome. I love that he taught you that. Why Easter? Why did he tell you that every day was an Easter day? Why didn't he tell you every day was a Christmas day? Or every day was a Pentecost day, or every day was a third Sunday in Epiphany day. Thank you, Chuck. Resurrection. That's why. That specifically is why he ingrained that, why he said that so often. Every day is an Easter day. Because he wanted to make darn sure that everyone understood. And whatever had changed, whatever was different, whatever was going to happen next, the best of Bethel had yet to occur. Like Christ on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, there would and will be resurrection and new life beyond belief, beyond imagination. Those disciples have been told the entire time that they've been following Jesus what will happen. Three times in Luke, he tells them exactly what he's going to do. It is not a shock. It's a shock. It shouldn't be a surprise. He didn't keep it from them. It wasn't some secret. Surprise, I'm back! He'd been telling them the entire time what he was going to do. That there would be resurrection, that there would be new life, that something beyond their understanding was going to happen. He didn't go into that tomb to be forgotten and to fade away. This community of faith did not move a quarter mile away from its prior home to be forgotten and to fade away. There are opportunities, and there are resources, and there are communities, and networks, and relationships that we can and will use, that God will use, more importantly, to build a form of ministry here that still is beyond our imagination. Even though God's been telling us what is possible, Pastor Dick started feeding it to you 5-6 years ago. Every day is an Easter day. Every day is an Easter day. Every day is an Easter day. And we took those words and we ingrained them in our heart and we, great, every day is an Easter day. Think about what that means. That every day is a chance to be born again. Every day is a chance for the ministry of this place to take on a new life and a new form beyond anything that we are capable of thinking of by ourselves. 2 weeks ago, I sat down with a group of gamers. A group of people who wanted to play board games and card games and video games and make silly jokes and sing silly songs and do silly dances and whatnot. And for 48 hours, we collectively did that and raised tens of thousands of dollars to get homeless children off the street and into loving homes. And I promise you, this day and always, that if God is capable of working through something like that insanity to do that kind of good work, we cannot even begin to imagine what God is capable of doing through this place and this wider neighborhood. Let us pray. We give you thanks on this day and always, O gracious, good, and loving God, for the inspiration of your word, for the opportunities and challenges that you have given us. Help us to recognize that every day truly is an Easter day, that every day is a chance to find new life in you and to work towards the betterment of this world in your name. We ask you to bless our neighborhood, to bless our friends and family, to bless the strangers, to bless all those who call this world home, to help us see how we may be examples of your love to all. We pray this trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.